I don't know. I'm going to do my best here. When I was in Israel, a few things struck me, but one of them was how many people use the buses there and how it's kind of one place in the Middle East where everything is on time. Yeah, and at the same time, I saw this phenomena of there would be kids on the bus, and when we would get to that kid's house, and kids and adults were mixed up on buses, right? They didn't have school buses, they just had buses. Well, anyway, these bus drivers would throw the bus in park, get up, go to the kid, take their hand, walk them to the porch, and literally sit on the porch till mom or dad came home. And there were times we sat on that bus for 20 minutes. And Israel is not a cool place in terms of temperature. But nobody complained. And what I found out was that they brought a man in to help them with a simple problem. Moms and dads were always late, which threw the buses off. And people did not like the buses getting thrown off. But at the same time, they weren't willing to just leave kids waiting at home alone. So a few years after I was there, I talked to a buddy who still lives there, and he told me the funniest thing. He said they solved the problem, and they solved it in the craziest way. But it started with this consultant they brought in, and they said, you know, we're going to institute a series to fine parents based on minutes. So if we have to wait 8 minutes, it's this much money. If we have to wait this long, and he said, that's the worst idea you could ever do. He said, you're allowing people to pay their way out of guilt. Right? You're allowing people to pay. And they thought, that's the stupidest thing. No, we'll fine them and people will quit being late. And the problem got so much worse that they called the guy back. And that this consultant, who eventually wrote a book about it, it's kind of funny, but he said, no, no, you just publish the names and the times in the paper. The Johnsons were 8 minutes late for Monday's bus route. The Smiths were 4 minutes late. And he said, oh, it'll stop. And it stopped. Why am I telling you this? They wouldn't listen to this guy who said, I know what works. And then he proved to them that not listening to him bore bad fruit, and they were willing to do something pretty insane. That was what I thought of this morning. When the people are confronted by the fact that by human rational standards, Jesus was saying insane things. He was saying, me, who look just like you, you know where I was born, you know who my mom is, I'm from heaven. I'm equal to God. I knew Abraham. And it sounded so crazy. But Jesus' answer is pretty simple. Look at what I'm doing. Does this look like the work of a crazy man? I'm healing the sick. I'm raising the dead. I'm restoring sight to the blind. I'm proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And if you can't believe my words because I'm telling you they're true, believe my works. Yeah? I know that's a long story, but I don't care. It's the one I could think of. What I want God to do today is challenge each of us. What are our works? And by that, I don't mean look at the good things I'm doing because evil people can do good things. The fruits of our presence are what is important. When people walk away from us, have they experienced someone who gossips just like everyone else? Who complains just like everyone else? Who's obsessed with our politics and our social situation like everyone else? Or do they walk away having brushed up against love? Brushed up against hope? Having brushed up against faith? That's the question God, I think, wants to challenge us with today. As we receive him in the Eucharist, may we let him transform us so that people see and experience our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Okay.